We're going to learn from the Kedushat Levi Yitzchak. Kedushat Levi Yitzchak, I mean, you might have it in Sfaria. I'm not so familiar with what they have in there in Sfaria. Kedushat Levi Yitzchak, this is by Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev. We mentioned already that a lot of the books that we read from, it's all the same crew. The Baal Shem Tov had a student, the Magid from Mazrij, and he had a yeshiva in the city of Mazrij that anyone who wanted to learn Hasidut went to him. At the time, the main center of the Torah in the world was Vilna, of course, and everybody went to Vilna to study there. But the ones who were interested in learning Hasidut and more mysticism, then they went to the Magid. And the students there, it wasn't like here that were simple people. The students there, each one was a pillar. And a lot of these famous names that we hear about in the Hasidic world, they're all learned in the same yeshiva. So we learn a lot from the Noam Elimelech. This is Elimelech from Lizhansk. He was one of the students, that he was a huge, huge tzaddik. The Baal HaTanya calls him in the Hakdama to his book, he calls him Malach Elokim, such a high level, like an angel of Hashem. His brother was Reb Zusha from Anipoli, also used to learn there in the same yeshiva. And Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev was known to be the Senegor of Israel, stories about Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev, and nevertheless, Israel from Rojin, the Rojiner, and many others. The Baal HaTanya came from Liadi, Shneur Zalman from Liadi. So this was a very unique place. So, and you can see that if you really go through all the teachings of all these specific rabbis, you see that it's very similar. Just each one has his little twist, but you see it's coming from the same root, same idea of teachings and how to get close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, no, the book is called Kedushat Levi Yitzchak, and no, but I don't think there'll be. I mean, there's only. Okay, so you know, look for Parashat Mishpatim. See if we're on the same. It's the first ma'amar in Parashat Mishpatim. Says Vishtachavite Merachok.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so yeah, it's a pretty common book. It's I would believe that Sefari and many others will have it. But nevertheless, we're in Parashat Mishpatim. We start the Ma'amar with the saying Vishtachavite Merachok. You should bow, but from far away. Yesh lomar, one should say, Dehine Abore Baruch Hu. Etzlo yesh kivyachol shnei bechinot, rachok v'karov. When we're looking at our Creator, there are two concepts, two ways of looking at it. One of them is the Kadosh Baruch Hu is very far away from us. Can't understand what it means, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator of the world, is somewhere in the heavens, holier than what we can imagine. He's very far away from us. It's called rachok. But on the other hand, he's very close to us. Karov Hashem lechol korav. We read that every day. Lechol asher ikru v'emet. Hashem is very close to us. Hashem is everywhere. So there's two ways how you can perceive, so to say, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. One of them is very far away, and the other one is very close to me. Bivchinat rachok, when I'm looking at the concept that we explained that is rachok, that is far away, why? We know and we believe that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we refer to him many times as Ein Sof, the infinite light, Or Ein Sof, that he's preceding everything. Kadmon lechol hakadmonim. He is the first one. And nothing comes before him. Like my little daughter asked me a few days ago, who created Hashem? And I told her, nobody. Hashem was always there. And she couldn't figure it out. She's like, yeah, but who created you? Who created Hashem? And I told her, well, nobody. Hashem was always there. He's the first of everything. So we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu preceded everything. There's not one creature or any type of creation that can really understand and to grasp what it means Hashem. כי אי אפשר למחשבה להשיגו מחמת למחשבה או מחודש. Because in order for me to understand something, it has to be dressed in my thoughts. And my thought is so limited that I will never be able to comprehend what does it mean, the master of the universe. כי אי אפשר למחשבה להשיגו, a thought is way too limited, מחמת למחשבה הוא מחודש והקדוש ברוך הוא קדמון. The thought is something that is gets created constantly, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is preceding all that. So if I'm going to analyze my thoughts, there are thoughts that are new and there are thoughts that are old. The thoughts that are old are not called thoughts anymore, they're called memories, which means that a thought is a certain power that constantly gets renewed. Because a thought that was an hour ago, that can be already defined as a memory, not a thought. Okay? Because when you say, what are you thinking of? Oh, right now I'm thinking of ABC. And the thought is constantly being born. But once it's being born already, it gets, so to say, archived. And then it's not a thought anymore, it's a memory. So since a thought is called, we call it in Hebrew, mechudash. It's renewing itself. Constantly there's a new thought, another thought, another thought, another thought. So their thoughts are being renewed, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is preceding. It's before that. Therefore, the thought cannot even jump, so to say, to the past to understand what it means, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ven shum ofen v'saraf. Ofan, sorry. En shum ofan v'saraf asher asigu oto. There's many different types of levels of angels. The really, really high level angels. There's one group that is called Ofanim, and it's coming from the word Ofan. Ofan is a circle. Now, many people, when they want to explain this thing about aliens, there's a big question, is there aliens or not? And people say, but I see aliens. So a very interesting explanation about the flying sorcerers that people see, these are Ofanim, these are a type of an angel. Then the angel that is called Ofan, Ofan is like a circle, like a wheel. That's why in Hebrew, bicycle is Ofanaim. And a bike, a motorbike is Ofanoa, because it's a, listen to the words in Hebrew, Ofan, Noah. It's Ofan is a circle, and Noah, it turns around. Ofanaim, it's a circle that turns around. So the Ofanim, we imagine like an angel with the wings and like something over the head here. But these specific angels are like circles. That's why when you read a lot of books of the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh, he constantly talks about this concept of igulim, of these circles. Because obviously the Ari was in a level that he saw things in a completely different way. Needless to say, he was in realms in the spiritual worlds that he was able to see angels. So he refers to things as igulim, as rings, so to say. But nevertheless, there's different types of levels of angels. One of them, one of the groups of angels called Ofanim, very, very high level angels. And another one is called Srafim. We say that every morning when we pray, Ofanim v'chayot ha-kodesh, v'srafim, and so forth. Chayot ha-kodesh is the holy animals. So these two types of groups of angels, Ofanim v'srafim, very, very high level angels. He says even the Srafim and the Ofanim are not going to be, they're not able to really perceive what's Hashem. They understand, they see, they experience. They don't have, nobody can really lasig to have grasp what it means Hashem. Why? Ki hu lemala min asaga. Hashem is way above any type of comprehension. V'zehu b'chinat rechok. This is what it means, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is very far away from us. Shehu rechok v'muvdal me'asaga. That is farther, far, far, so far away from any type of way of understanding and grasping and comprehending what is the master of the universe. But then again, we also say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is close to us, Bechinat Karov. This is another thing we mention every day, Karov Hashem Lechol Kroav. A person calls to Hashem, Hashem is standing right here. לכל אשר יקראו, באמת, for the ones who really call Hashem, Hashem is right here. Hashem is everywhere. הוא שאנו מאמינים שהבורא ברוך הוא ממלא כל עלמין. How come we define him as close? Because we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu fills the entire world with his chayut, with his energy. Every square millimeter is full with the presence of Hashem. We say, "Umlo chol haaretz kevado," that the haaretz, the land, the earth, is filled completely with his presence and with his honor. Take now a balloon, fill it with water till the top. So the entire area of the balloon is full of water. There's not one place in the area that is not full of water. And even if there's going to be a little bit of air, then it will go up as a bubble and go out. So now 100% of the area of the balloon is full of water. The same way the entire world is full 100% till the last inch with the presence of Hashem. This is what it means, Melo chol haaretz kevado. Male, melo is same word as male, full. All the way to the top. You know, when the world was created, the bowl was full of water. The bowl that we call it planet Earth. And then the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, separated between the waters. He made a gap in the water. But imagine the planet, it was a bowl of water. And then Hashem went in between, so to say, and he split the water. But Yavdil ben Amayim from above, Hashem separated from the water from above and the water from below, and he created, so to say, a gap between the surface and the water that is in the sky. We don't see that water, but there's water in the sky. That's where now scientists are explaining the shooting stars, and they understand that there's ice in space, and this ice is falling, so to say, and the water is flying, and it's so cold that it creates like lines of ice. That's where now science is explaining what are shooting stars. It's not a real star that is falling. Rather, it's like these streams of water, and because they're going so fast and so cold, then they freeze. So you see like a line. And you know, to see a little line on the sky, it means that this is like a 400,000 kilometer line in the space. Anyways, I read some article with NASA explaining that, but nevertheless, there's water. They're proven that there's water in the space. Needless to say that even around the outer part of the globe, there's water. But in the beginning, the whole thing was full of water. Same idea when we say Umlo chol haaretz kevado, everything is full with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say. The Zohar says velet atar panui mineh. There's not one place in the universe that is free, so to say, from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is like the air that inflates the balloon. So if you can you say in a balloon, there's one pocket here with no air? No, the air is, because it's concentrated, then it's inflating the balloon. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is filling the entire existence. That's how we say, how do we know Hashem is close? Because we know, Shabore Baruch Hu Memale Kol Almin. He's filling the whole world. So obviously he's here. Not only that, uvgo kol almin, umekif kol almin, let atar panui mineh. He's filling the worlds, he's surrounding the worlds, he's above the worlds, he's in the worlds. There's no one place in the world that is free from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki melo chol haaretz kevado. Why? Because the entire earth, the entire world, not the earth, is filled with his presence. Vezehu b'chinat karov. This is what it means, that it's close, because Hashem is literally now around me. So I can say he's very far away because I can't grasp it, but he's so close to me that he's literally around me. Va'anu bnei Yisrael tzarchim la'amin b'shtei b'chinot anal. And us, the sons of Israel, we have to believe in both ways of explaining, the close and the far away. Ha'echad hu richuk v'asheni hu kiruv. One of them is that Hashem is far away, and the other one that Hashem is very close. וזהו פירוש שכתוב שלום לרחוק ולקרוב אמר השם. There is a verse in Tehillim, we read that on Motzei Shabbat, and we say שלום שלום לקרוב ולרחוק. Now the way to read it is שלום שלום לקרוב ושלום לרחוק. I mean, שלום, hello, peace to the one that is close and peace to the one that is far away. This is referring to Hashem. לאותו צדיק שיאמין שהשם יתברך הוא קרוב ורחוק. If you remember, many times when we read the Noam Elimelech, he refers to us as tzaddikim. He's not going to say a Yehudi or Bnei Israel. He says a tzaddikim. He says lo tzaddik, for that same that individual that is defined as a tzaddik, sheyamin shehashem itbarach rachok v'karov, that he believes that Hashem is close and far away at the same time. Leze Hashem itbarach baruch hu mamshich kol minei hashpaot leolam. Only for that person we talked about before in the morning. How do I receive this abundance, this shefa? I need a kli. That was the class before, and we need to know how to develop a kli. If I have a kli, a vessel, then I can get blessings. I can get a shefa. If I don't have a kli, I'm not going to get anything. It's not because Hashem doesn't want to give it to me. It's because there's nothing where to put it in. Hashem is projecting on us this shefa, this abundance. If I have how to capture it, then I'll get it. If I don't, I don't. So one of the things that he says here, in order for me to receive this hashpa'ot, then the foundation is that I have to believe in both concepts. I can't just say, no, Hashem is far away in Shemaim. Rather, I have to say, yeah, Hashem is exalted for me. I don't understand what Hashem, and I will never understand what it means, but nevertheless, he's right next to me. And when I believe in both options, then I'm becoming a worthy vessel to receive kol minei hashpaot l'olam, all these shefa for eternity. Now, we talked about one concept, that is, we're defining Hashem as close and also far away. Now, there's another way to explain it. It's called ahava ve'ira, love and fear. Ve'hine yira lo sheyach, rak shanu mityarim mipnei hadavar shehu lemala mimeno. Where do we really have fear? From something that is above me. I'm talking about real fear. I'm not talking about being afraid of a mouse. That's not fear. I'm talking about fear, real fear. I'm afraid of something that is above me. So I can be afraid of the government or the police or whatever it is. But something that is, so to say, above me, or if I'm a young individual, maybe afraid of my teacher or my parents. Some kids are afraid of their parents. But I will develop fear for something that is, so to say, above me. וזהו בבחינת רחוק, ששם נופל העירה. So when we are explaining that Hashem is far away from me, that's what will birth the ira. That's what's going to develop fear, because it's way, way above me. אבל מבחינת קרוב מגיע אהבה. But when we explain that Hashem is very close to me, that's what's going to develop love. Where do you really feel love? When somebody hugs you, when somebody cares about you. So when I'm looking at the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the level of Rachok or far away, that's what's going to develop the fear from him, because it's way, way above me. When I'm talking to the, comparing the idea when Hashem is very close to me, that's what's going to develop the love, because closeness is developing love. That's why it's very important when you have kids, is to constantly have, I mean, you can love them very much, that's one thing. But the kids need to be hugged, they need to sit on you, you need to hold them, because that's how they start developing this love. They feel this closeness. זה שכתוב והשתחוויתם, it says in the verse, that's what we were quoting in the beginning of the Ma'amar. You should bow down. והשתחוויתם. דהו בבחינת יראה שמשתחווה. When I bow down, it's coming from the level of יראה, not from אהבה. And I'm bowing not because I'm afraid. יראה again, I'm not afraid that Hashem is going to beat me up. As yirah is awe, that I have a respect to Hashem, that I'm in awe in front of Him. So when I bow down, it's showing respect. It's showing yirah. Laze amar merachok. That's why it says v'ishtachavitem merachok, from far away. Why? Because when I bow down, it's referring to yirah, fear to Hashem, and it's coming from the definition that Hashem is far away. Me'oto b'china shel rachok hisigu b'v'chinat ha'yirah. From that level that Hashem is far away from me, that's when I start developing the fear to Hashem. That it's so far away that it will take me light years to even start maybe understanding a little bit what it means, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But from there, I start developing yirah. And the yirah, again, is not that I'm afraid. Rather, when I really meditate on the greatness of Hashem, it causes me to have this unbelievable awe that I can't believe that the master of the universe has created trillions and trillions of worlds, angels, souls, runs the entire system. He's the master of all masters. and he takes his time to listen to me kvetch. And he takes the time to allow me to live and to breathe. And when I say a blessing, he listens. And when I put filin on, he cries. And when I have a simcha, he comes and dances with me. The master of the universe cares about me, this little microbe here in this universe. That in itself should develop this unbelievable awe in front of Hashem that he bichlal even gives us a time of day. It's shocking to me over and over that the master of the universe even cares what we do. 7 billion people, he knows what they're thinking, what they're going through, and he cares. Well, maybe you're not going to feel it always, but it's unbelievable to think that something so huge that he can create worlds and destroy them instantly, trillions and trillions of angels are standing to his command, he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and he cares about my needs. And he listens to me when I pray. He stops his business when I call him. Karov Hashem lechol korav. Hashem is close to all the ones who call him. To who? Asher yikru be'emet. That really, you call him, Hashem stands right away. Yes, yes, how can I help you? So that should develop this unbelievable awe and fear in front of Hashem. Now there's another way to say it. O yesh lomar, dehine Arizal, katav b'kavanot. The Arizal wrote, he has a book, it's called Sefer HaKavanot, the book of all the Kavanot. Kavanah, you can't really interpret it in a normal way. Kavanah is an intention. But this is not what it means, Sefer HaKavanot. Rather, that everything that we do, we have to have the right thought when I'm doing something. And, I mean, we don't really know the Kavanot. There's many people that they try to meditate on the right idea when they're doing a certain action. But certain individuals, for example, the Arizal, but we know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, 13 years he was in a cave, he did all the mitzvot in his mind, and he did it better than what we do it with physically. He knew how to lechaven means to aim, and meaning to meditate on something in his mind. The mind was so powerful that he did all the mitzvot only with his mind. He didn't have a sukkah, he didn't have a trog, he didn't have a matzah, he didn't have tefillin, he didn't have anything. And he did everything in this level in his mind. That was like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was also able to do that. That's why Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they didn't have physical mitzvot. They did that in a very high level.
We're not allowed to do that.
Forget about allowed. You're not going to be able to do. Even if you think you can, not you. But we're not. Even if we, you're right, we're not allowed to. But even if we think, we'll never reach to that level to be able to do these mitzvot in our mind. So we're not allowed to, because it's going to chas v'shalom drive you to a place that can drive a person to completely be a heretic. And chas v'shalom try to do all sorts of weird things. But nevertheless, even if you put all your mind to it and you'll go with all the right intentions, you'll never be able to reach to the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or Avraham Avinu. They tried. That's why only one of them came out, Rabbi Akiva. So, but nevertheless, the Arizal still gives us a lot of information about the right intention. And even though we're in a very low level, one should have the right kavanah. When you're holding the talit and you're about to say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Litatef B'Tzitzit, you have to say it slow. You have to understand the words. You have to have the intention that Hashem is now going to be wrapping me. The same lit atef betzitzit. Hashem is wrapping me, and I'm being wrapped now in a mitzvah, in this infinite light. I don't have the right kavanah, what the Arizal is talking about, but I still have to have the comprehension of what's going on right now. And when I'm putting tefillin, I have to have in my mind, I'm putting tefillin on my hand to soften my heart, to break my midot. When I tie the tefillin on my hand, I have to picture in my mind how I'm tying the Yetzer Hara, like I'm nailing him down. Every loop that I do, it's corresponding to the 7 midot. I'm affecting which one of the midot. I'm able to dress my neshama in the Sfirot HaElyonot. I have to have some thoughts here. Not just do it like to get it over with. But nevertheless, there's many things that we have to meditate on. And not all of them are so sophisticated. When you're praying, you have to have the right thought. You're praying, Baruch Aleinu Tashana Hazot Letova, in 18. Exactly when you're saying that, you have to think. You have to think of an etrog for Sukkot. You have to have in mind the chitim, the wheat for the matzah. You have to have in mind the grapes for wine for kiddush. And it's not that you have to be here the Ben Ish Chai. You have to have the thought, instead of thinking of the business or many other junk that's going on in our head while we're praying, to have the right intention, to think of something. You're saying, Rafenu Hashem v'nei Rafe, think of the people that needs refuah, and so forth. So, nevertheless, the Arizal says, Katav b'kavanot alenu, and when it comes to the prayer, alenu l'shabeach. Alenu l'shabeach l'adon l'kol, לתת גדולה ליוצר בראשית, and so forth, and it says, ואנחנו קוראים ומשתחווים. We say that every day, three times a day. Arizal says, when we say, ואנחנו קוראים, בהשתחוויה שאנו משתחווים, אנו ממשיכים שפע רב מאינסוף ברוך הוא. I have to understand that when I'm kneeling, קוראים is kneeling, ומשתחווים and bowing, at that exact moment, I have to understand that by me bowing down, it's almost like, imagine those puppets that are on a string, and the guy on the top goes like this, and the whole puppet is moving. Now imagine now the puppet will be able to go with his hand like that, then it would pull, so to say, the string. Just imagine hypothetically. And the puppet is dead, so just the puppeteer is moving. But imagine the puppet for 1 second will come to life and will pull his hand down, so it would pull the string down. So when I bow down, the Arizal says, I'm pulling down a shefa. It's like, you know, those big bells that you what? No, those bells, those big bells. And when you pull the string, the bell starts ding, ding. So when I pull something down here, it makes noise on the top. So when I bow down, I pull down a shefa, a certain energy, a certain abundance from above. But I have to think about it. When I say "Vanachu korim u'mishtachavim," in my mind, I have to think that right now I'm bending down and I'm pulling down an abundance from above. You know, like the olden days, to flush the toilet, it wasn't now like now in the height where we sit. It was very high, and there was a string to pull it down. Remember that? I mean, I remember that. The basin that was holding the water was very high up. So there will be pressure. And there was like a little string, and you would pull it, and then the water will come down. So when I pull something down in this world, it pulls something from above. The Arizal specifically says, when I'm bowing down, I have to meditate on the fact that I'm pulling a shefa into this world. Specifically, Me'en Sof Baruch, specifically coming from the infinite light, Letoch HaOlamot, into the world. וזה שכתוב וישתחוויתם, that's why it says וישתחוויתם, and you should bow down, היינו שתמשיכו שפע רב, that you should bring a lot of שפע. That's why when I bow, everything that I do, if I do it, you know, like a robot, nothing happens. באמת, nothing happens. If you're just going like a machine when you pray, besides practicing the words, nothing really happens. When you bow and you're thinking, wait a minute, I'm bowing to the Kadosh Baruch Hu now. I'm literally bowing out to the master of the universe. This is a serious bow. This is not a game here that I'm just participating here with a group of men. I have to have in mind that when I'm bowing right now, I'm pouring this energy, this unbelievable abundance from the highest level of the infinite light, and it affects the entire world. היינו שתמשיכו שפע רב מבחינת רחוק הנזכר לעיל. That I'm pulling this unbelievable abundance, but where? From far away, from the highest level of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they don't even understand what it means. Just with my little act of bowing down. So he concludes here, and what we want to take from that to our day-to-day life is A, I have to understand that every action that I do has to have heart in it. Action I'm talking about in regards to serving Hashem. It has to have some heart in there. If I just do it like a robot, the way that our sages call it, it's etzat anashim melumada. You do it because you're just used to it. And you're just putting the tefillin, putting the tzitzit on. Sometimes I used to go to different shuls, they pray in 20 minutes. I don't know how to do that. I wouldn't even put my tefillin on, they were already in Baruch She'amar. I would be like, what's going on here? And it's so fast. It's too fast. I mean, I understand sometimes you got to make it to work, you got to stand a deadline or whatever it is, so you go faster. But sometimes I would be in synagogues in America when they're all Americans, and my mother tongue is Hebrew, and I wouldn't pray so fast like them. How can you even pronounce the word so fast? So, and this is just one thing. How many times do we do things that we don't put our hearts to? I'm just talking about prayers now. Can be a million and one other things that we do. We don't really put our mind to it to understand what's going on right now. Hashem has given me this unbelievable ability to be able to shift things in the world above, and I don't really understand what it means when I'm putting tefillin on. You have to really think what's going on when I'm putting the tefillin, how I'm putting it. I have to put my heart and mind into everything that I do. But nevertheless, he's talking here again that I have to understand two ways how I can relate to Hashem. One of them is Hashem is very far away and exalted from me, and that will develop the right awe. Then Hashem is very close to me. That will develop this love. And I constantly have to have this relationship with between love and fear to Hashem. And that's the only way for me to really get closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and really apply my service to God the right way. If not, I'm just a robot, like it's called a body without a soul. It's doing the act, but it's not really doing anything there. And needless to say, how important it is that everything that I do should have thought behind it. It's almost like, you know, not too long ago, when I celebrated my last birthday, so my kids, they all brought me all these presents, but I wasn't going to a store and buying a book. That's a boring present. One of them did all these, my four-year-old, she did all this artwork, and she was cutting and gluing, and 3 days she was making all the, and then she came and explained everything, and this is this, and this, and that, and that's a real present. I was like, wow. And the other kid made all these drawings, and the other one built things, and it was real presents. Wasn't going to the store for 2 shekels and buying something. And, you know, just give me the, what do you have over there? The presents came with a lot of thought, and they were excited to do it. And I, of course, needless to say, was very touching and very emotional. You know, to getting the explanation from my four-year-old, from my six-year-old, I did this, this is that, this is this. One of them drew all the pictures. This is you, this is mommy, this is me, this is, it doesn't look like me. You know, in the picture was like these sticks. You know, one stick was the body, 2 sticks were the hands, and like these big fingers. And I was like, you sure this is me? Yeah. And last time I looked, I don't look blue. So, but nevertheless, when I was looking at the presents and how much effort went into it, I like looking at everything that happens around me and to interpret it in some type of a teaching that I can apply in my service to Hashem. And I was telling myself, look how much effort they put into this little present. It's not the money, it's the time and the thought that went into it. And I was like, what is more making me happy? That I would get another book to add to my bookshelf, or a tie or whatever, or something that my child went out of their way and thought, how am I doing this nice present to my father right now? Because I love him so much. And I was like, look at that. That's probably how Hashem gets so happy and emotional. And I got very emotional. I said, you know, every time I got one of these little presents, and you know, the kid was sitting on me, and it made me very happy and excited. And I was like, just think how Hashem gets emotional and happy and excited when you come and you do a mitzvah like in that level. Versus that you just come, zip, zip, in, out. And I was like, look at that. That shit goes to teach you how much nachat, how much happiness Hashem derives when I do something with all my heart and with all my intention, and I really concentrate and I say, listen, I all the day I'm busy working, doing whatever I'm doing. I'm half an hour in the shul. Let me do it the right way. Let me put my heart in it. Let me devote every second here to do it the right way, so Hashem also can have nachat from what I'm doing. And this is exactly why he concludes by saying that at the end, if I know how to bow the right way to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm pulling so much shefer into my life, so much abundance into my life. And it doesn't mean it's in the money. Money is not necessarily a positive thing. Money is good to pay the bills. That's it. But the real shefa, this abundance that I want to get from above, is happiness. I want to be happy. I want to be constantly like this. I don't care what's the situation, be calm. Ah, you know how many people have a heavy heart all day long carrying this burden? Who needs this? I want to be happy. I want to be freed from my problems. I want to be healthy. I don't want to have pains. I want to see everybody around me happy. I want to see everybody getting along. This is Shefa. This is an abundance. Mezad Hashem, we should merit to see a lot of bracha and Shefa and abundance in our life.